Yes, hello everyone, and welcome to the Drupal Podcast. My name is Craig O'Donoghue from West Australian Newspaper, and throughout the finals, I'll be bringing you all the news and interviews for everything to do with basketball in WA. That's right, it is finals time. The Rock didn't come to Australia with WWE, but we can smell what the finals are cooking, and it's a very exciting time for everyone. Perth Lynx won through to the WNBL Grand Final on Sunday with a scintillating performance against Townsville, and now the Perth Wildcats are preparing for a home semi-final against Tasmania as well. So it's a massive, massive week. In this week's episode, we will hear from three-time championship winner and a man chasing his first title in the NBL, Christian Doolittle, about what it takes to be successful during the playoffs and what it will take for the Wildcats to get through to a Grand Final series. And then Perth Lynx star Alex Gibbetoni will be in the studio as she tries to complete some unfinished business in what is a truly remarkable story. Perth Wildcats are preparing for a massive finals series, and their fans will be very excited to have them back in RAC Arena for a final. They are up against the Tasmania Jack Jumpers, and who better to talk to about finals than a man who has experienced plenty of them overseas and has won many championships. His name is Christian Doolittle. Christian, thank you very much for joining us on the Drupal Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you have won plenty of championships in your professional career. How do you prepare for finals? Like, what's your approach to it all?
I feel like playoffs in general, you know, whether it be the beginning or the end, I feel like the preparation just goes up entirely to a new level. You know, got to understand that you're playing for your life and that, you know, you have to just be on top of your game in every aspect, you know, focus on what you're doing as a team, but also focus on what the other team does. And, you know, it's just very high intensity, but I live for these moments.
It can take a long time to get through a final series. So how do you manage the ups and downs of it all and making sure that you're focused without being over the top and becoming mentally exhausted?
Just having a good way to decompress. And like you said, you know, the being intense for all that time can definitely take a toll on you as the playoffs progress and even the series that you're playing in. So I'm just finding ways of trying to, you know, relax in any way that you can. But, and it's hard to do, especially because, you know, you're so locked in and, you know, so focused on what the task at hand. It's kind of hard to, you know, get your mind off of it and think about something else. But I feel like the camaraderie that we have will make it a lot easier, coaching staff and everything. So, and, you know, I'm excited to get to play.
So as I mentioned, you've won three championships already. So let's go through them. 2020 in Puerto Rico, you swept the grand final series. You had 10 points, 12 rebounds in one of those games, 14 points, 5 rebounds in another of those championship games. What are your memories of that 2020 where you win your first championship overseas?
Yeah, that one was a little crazy because it was during the pandemic. So we were in a bubble. And so, you know, my first experience for professional basketball was isolated, you know. So it was still a great experience, you know, getting that experience, being trusted, called upon as a rookie to be able to, you know, step up for my teams. It was not very common as I've began to see since playing multiple years now. And so just the trust that they had in me, you know, just coming fresh out of college. And so, you know, it was great experience for myself to be able to understand that I can compete at a very high level, be thrown into a different situation kind of on the fly and still be able to go out there and produce.
So in the bubble, so no crowds at all, or was it you guys were living in a bubble but were able to play in front of people? It was different in different countries at that point?
No, we stayed at a resort out there, but there wasn't any crowd or anything. We had like the, you know, the owners of the team. But, you know, they had to go through multiple screenings and negative COVID tests to be able to attend. So it was just us, you know, my team and the other teams and, the, you know, player personnel and coaches and stuff. But other than that was the only people that was at the resort.
So we saw when the Wildcats won a championship over here in 2020, there were two of the three games played without crowds, and it was really, really weird. Was it weird playing in that sort of environment at the time when you're looking around and it's almost family and friends in the crowd being that just the hangers-on who are allowed to be there?
Yeah, it was definitely different. You know, just the atmosphere was a lot different, but it required that the team provide a lot of energy, well, provide the energy for the game. And so while it was different, it was also nice because it made everybody be, you know, into the game, you know, talk more and stuff like that. So I feel like it brought us closer as a team
And then you go back in 2022 and you won the championship again, this time averaging 10 points and 10 rebounds throughout the finals. So averaging a double-double, you must have been really proud of your ability to go back into that same environment, have another big impact and win that championship again.
You know, every time you get a chance to compete for a championship is always special, especially when you win. And so, like I said, everything has kind of been the same every year. Playing in Puerto Rico, you know, I just do what's asked of me. You know, my team and my coaching staff has a lot of you know, trust in me to be able to go in there and play however the game dictates. So, you know, I don't really care about stats or anything like that. I just want to win. And so, you know, the sacrifices that I made to be able to make sure that happens.
So is it different for you from a role perspective in 2022 compared to 2020, even though same league, same team, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I feel like each year I played over there, my role has grown. You know, I've been in the championship three times in 4 years over there, and I've lost two of them. Or I didn't go to the championship there in my second year, but this past year we were in the championship, but we lost. So 2 out of 4 years I've been in, three out of four, but I've lost one. So I feel like that they understand me as a player and allow me to be myself. And so, you know, as I've grown within myself and my game, they've allowed me to, you know, take on more of a leadership role. But, you know, leadership for everybody looks different. It's not just because I have that, I guess, have that green light, that, you know, quote unquote green light. It doesn't mean that I go out there and, you know, shoot a bunch of crazy shots just because I can. It's just understanding that, you know, the impact that I have for the team and, you know, what I can do to help us be the best that we can, rather than focus on what I can do myself.
So then you went straight from Puerto Rico to Japan and you won another championship there. So you're on a bit of a roll there. And once again, dominating, you had 28-9 in one of the losses during the finals. You then had 16-7 in the deciding win. But you had one game during the semifinals. You had 28 points, 12 rebounds and 6 steals. You must have really enjoyed that final series.
Yeah, I did. You know, being in Japan, it was a great experience. It allowed me to take more of an aggressive role that I've ever had. So they encouraged me to shoot almost every time I touched the ball. So, you know, with all that freedom, I feel like I took on more of a responsibility to where, you know, my play will dictate if we win or lose the game. But, you know, like I said, you know, I can be given the keys to any type of situation. I'm not the type of person to take advantage of it. The main thing for me is still winning, you know. Having good stats is everything, is cool, but I'm just glad that we won a championship. I mean, there was one game, the second game, I barely scored. You know, the team was denying me every time, but, you know, I was on such a good team to where I didn't try to force the issue myself to try to make it about myself. I understand that if they wanted to play that way, then it was going to be to our advantage.
So as someone who's won three, as you said, been to others where you haven't been successful in those ones, but you've won three already. Like, as you go into this final series now, do you view this group and say, you can see things in it that make you think this is going to be a successful finals team?
Yeah, of course. I feel like since before I got here and when I first joined the team, that I knew the potential of us is reaching a championship. That was one of the main reasons why I wanted to come here, is because, you know, championship is the pedigree here and that's the expectation. And, you know, I feel the same way for myself. It's championship is, you know, what I expect. So I feel like we've always had the tools to get it done. It's just a matter of us locking in and, you know, being able to come up with timely stops, you know, rebounding, just little things is what the only thing that can stand in our way from us accomplishing our main goal.
So much championship experience in this group. As I say, you've won three. Jesse Wags has won six and has 58 finals to his name, which is insane. Bryce has three titles and two grand final MVPs. Corey Webster has three NBL titles, four New Zealand NBL titles, and he won another one in Africa. So do you look around the room at the moment and think there's so many people who know what's required and who the younger guys can turn to ask for advice if they need it?
Yeah, of course. You know, having that type of experience and leadership will result into a well-poised team. You know, since the regular season have ended, those three individuals you named have been more vocal, you know, letting us know what to expect. You know, I've been fortunate enough to know what to expect. So, you know, I chime in every once in a while. But like you said, the young guys who this will be their first playoff experience for some of them, you know, first finals experience for a lot of people. So, but I know everyone's excited. Everybody's, you know, ready to play. And so, but we're going to be leaning on those three mainly for their leadership.
So what has been the message? Like, Corey's a quiet guy, but speaks to this team a lot. Every time I'm at training, he seems to be the person who's leading the chat. You know, that Jesse is the captain who's done so much over the years, and Bryce leads by example. What are their different types of leadership styles that you've seen come out over the past couple of weeks as you build into this final series?
I would say, like you mentioned, everybody is different. You know, when we watch film, break it down, you know, focusing on ourselves, Corey will be more vocal. You know, Coach Seb does a great job of showing us our weaknesses and how what we need to do to improve. You know, Corey will reiterate the message that the coaches share with us. You know, it's different coming from a player rather than coming from a coach. And so understanding that, like, reminding us that the playoffs is a whole different animal than the regular season. You know, these are the little things that'll get us sent home. There's not a next game mentality. It has to be a, you know, right now. You know, BC is BC. Like you said, he leads by example, by coming to work every day, playing hard. You know, the best, it's rare for the best player to be one of the hardest workers as well. And so I commend him for that. And, you know, Jesse is just the voice of reason. So, like you said, he's been there and done that far more than anybody else. And so, you know, when anybody speaks, everybody listens and, you know, understands that they're coming from a place of wanting to help. And he's an extension of the coaching staff, and we respect everything that he's done, everything that he continues to do at this stage of his career for us.
How important was it for you to have a genuine practice match late last week where ref's in the building, so it's being officiated like it would be a normal game? You can play it like it's a normal game, and whilst you're up against each other, you are playing more of a real situation.
Yeah, it's easy to get out of shape whenever you have this length of break that we've had with the world stuff and the FIBA break, and then having the break because we had the first round bye. So things can get a little dragged out. So it was nice to be able to, you know, we practice all the time against each other. And so it was nice to be able to actually have like a real game. You know, sometimes the coaches is not the very best at refereeing. So it was nice to have some actual refs in there to make it game-like. It was just refreshing to play again.
So, and especially for someone like yourself, you had the shoulder injury against Illawarra, which forced you out of that game earlier. Then you didn't have a lot of game time against Tasmania. So it's been a while since you've played the full minutes that your body is accustomed to. How are you feeling at the moment?
I feel great. You know, the minor setback at Illawarra, you know, it was just, you know, more so a hit that caught me by surprise. And so because I wasn't expecting it, it hurt me more in the moment than it actually did in reality. So that's why I was able to play the next game against Tasmania. And then, you know, that being the game that it was, you know, everybody played that game. And so the rotations were very quick, which I don't have a problem with. I'm glad to see everybody play. And so, you know, shift and focus up into the playoffs, you got to revamp your body, get it back to where, like you mentioned, I'm accustomed to playing. And so, but the break is always nice. You know, the season has been a gauntlet. You know, every game has been tough and it's very strenuous on the body. So, I've appreciated the rest, you know, been able to get my body back to 100%. And so going on this tail end stretch into the first game, you know, it's just, you know, just all dialed in on getting the win.
And to play Tassie in the finals, of all the opponents, this is probably the weirdest one for you personally, because the first game of the season was against Tassie and you still didn't even know your teammates' names, let alone your opponents' names. Then the last game of the season, you get Tassie, but you're not spending a lot of time on court because of, as you said, those rotations and wanting to give the younger guys an opportunity. So you've only really had one full game against them where you knew what was going on within the league. Is it a bit of a different preparation for you going into this game, not necessarily having had a lot of overall experience against them?
Not necessarily. While I might have not have been the first game, I would exclude the first game because, like you said, I had arrived to Australia maybe less than 48 hours before we played. So that one, I was kind of just out there. But the other two times, while I didn't perform as much, you know, I still went through the whole scouting and the preparation for the game as if I was going to play the entire game. So while I might not have been on the court, I still, you know, paid attention to details and understanding the scout and who we were playing as a team and individually and stuff like that. So, you know, we watch film on everybody that we play. So whether if I'm in the game or not, I know what's going on.
So what is the key to beating the Jack Jumpers in this series, do you feel?
We have to match their discipline. You know, I feel like they're one of the most disciplined teams in the entire league, understanding that they have shot makers, two very good ball handlers that, you know, they're going to try to get into a lot of actions. And so it's going to come down to defense for us. You know, our offense is going to click. We have too many weapons on our team for it not to. Our biggest thing is being able to get stops when we need them, you know, trying to make the other team take as the most difficult as we possibly can, not conceding anything easy. So, like I said, it's playoffs. You can't allow, you know, good players to get easy looks. So, for us, it's going to be about how well of defense we play.
And when you're in the studio a couple months back, we were talking about the fact you got a baby on the way. You could have a big few months, couldn't you? And over the space of 7 months, you might get married, win a championship, and become a father. It would be the biggest half year of your life, wouldn't it, if that sort of thing happens?
Yes, it definitely will be. You know, he's due next month, so the time is quickly approaching.
So your wife went home recently, is that right? So it's just you by yourself now in Australia?
Yeah, she went back a week and a half ago. That was a cutoff time to be able to travel. So she's back home. She's back with family. But yeah, I'm here by myself again. So I'm just focused on the game.
Yeah, focus on the game. Get yourself right, and hopefully this team can win this semi-final series against Tasmania and then head through to a grand final. So it is Friday, March 8th versus the Tasmania Jack Jumpers at RAC Arena at 6:30 p.m. That's game one. Game two will be in Tassie on Monday. That's a 4:30 p.m. game, Western Standard Time. And if we need a game three, we'll be back at RAC Arena on Wednesday, March 13th for the deciding game. But hopefully for Christian and the Wildcats' sake, they can get it done in two. Christian, good luck. You are an extremely important part of this team. You are an extremely experienced finals performer. We look forward to seeing you out there, and thank you for joining us on the Dribble Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, what a weekend it was for the Perth Lynx.
And the Lynx are through to their sixth WNBL Grand Final and their second in 3 years. Perth sweep the reigning champs and are now just two wins away from their first championship.
Yes, the Lynx are through to the grand final. And as we record, we have no idea who they're actually going to play. We know it will be in Victoria, and it will be against either Southside or Melbourne. But the most important thing is for them that they have a decent break to recover and prepare. And I'm pleased to say during that break, Alex Cipitone has found time to come into the studio to join us today. Such a massive, massive occasion. How big was Sunday for you?
Yeah, it was huge. Honestly, it was so many reasons. Obviously, it was game two in a semi, so we get a chance to make it through to the grand final, but also just the fact that we don't have to get back on a plane this week and have another midweek game in Townsville to head into a final series. So it's just incredible.
Yeah, it would have been really disadvantageous to whichever team had have won if you had to go to Townsville. Given Southside and Melbourne are both staying home, playing each other, luck of the draw works amazing ways. You can't get any further in sport in Australia than Perth to Townsville.
I know, and that flight, I promise you feel it. I know that they would have felt it coming here and having to go back into a game three, you know, another six, seven hours on a plane is just way too much. It always seems to be that way, though, doesn't it, with Melbourne teams? They always get to hang out at home, but oh well, it is what it is, I guess.
Such an amazing series, the way it turned out, that semi-final. Like, if you go back to game one and the pressure was on and you made a few blues as a team late in the first, late in the second, which handed them points, and then you missed free throws, then they hit the front, but you steadied and you got that win on an away court. How big was that for everyone's belief, do you reckon?
Honestly, it was huge. You know, I think playing game two is always, I always find that worse than game one, no matter what series it is. The pressure's on both teams. You know, we obviously went there to get that win. Obviously, it was a bit unexpected, but then now Townsville to come into our home court and have to win. That kind of became their game three, really, for them. So, yeah, just incredible just to actually go there. I don't even remember if I've ever won on that court in Townsville. So, you know, to do it in a final series is just unbelievable.
It's certainly a tough place to win. And then you come home and you were flying. Like, you're out by miles. I think it was 17 points. You're out by at one point. And then they just decided to full court press for an entire half. And it was so intense because if you got through, you were going to have a decent shot. If they got it back, they were going to score. Like, that second half must have felt amazing to play in, knowing that the stakes were so high for everyone involved.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that we were all that prepared for them to come out with that kind of tempo. Like, typically throughout the season they've been more of a half court, play it safe kind of team. So for them just to come out, run and gun the whole second half, you know, put pressure on our guards the whole time, you know, it was crazy. I mean, it obviously worked in our favour, but they definitely put up a fight. You know, we never thought they would go away, but to have it back to, I think, got to 3 points in the fourth there for a bit, it definitely made us sweat, but it was just great to pull through and get the win.
And then the atmosphere in that stadium, like the crowd was going nuts for you. It must have felt so enjoyable to just experience that.
Yeah, honestly, that was probably one of the biggest home game crowds I remember, at least in the past few years, I think, other than the grand final. So to have like that many people there supporting us means so much to us, and they were incredible from the from tip off. You could hear them, and I definitely think like that's like having the sixth man on the court. You know, it's hard to play as the opposition team coming into a stadium like that and having it be so loud and the whole crowd be against you. You know, it does take its toll. So it was just incredible, and hopefully in game two we can get them back out here in Perth.
So I dashed out into the court at the end of the game and did a bit of roaming Brian and AFL style. Let's have a listen to some of the responses from yourself and your teammates.
I'm so proud of us, man. I'm so proud of us. We just play so hard for each other. We're the most unselfish group of people I've ever played with. It's unreal. Oh, it means the world. I mean, I grew up watching them. It was the West Coast Waves when I was growing up, but I grew up watching them and said I want to play for them one day, and never did I dream that, you know, I'd be helping them get to a grand final.
It means so much. Like, honestly, coming back, I did not sounds terrible. I did not expect to be playing in a grand final series again. I just was, like, hoping to get back in shape and contribute, and I just am so excited for this whole team. Like, it's just, like, the nicest and greatest bunch of girls that I've probably ever been a part of.
We had some hard times as an individual and as a team, but, I mean, just the mentality and just how we're approaching the games, practice, film session. Like, you can tell this team really wants it. And we play for each other, we play hard, and everything we do is genuine.
So that's the four A's from the team: Annalie Maley, Amy Atwell, Alex Gibbertoni here, and of course Erin McDonald. Like, to hear that back now, does it bring back all the emotions that were flooding through all of you at the time?
It really does. And, you know, it's so interesting. You never know what anyone else is going to say. And I think the one that hit home the most was Amy. And obviously growing up, being from here. So, yeah, for her second season with the Lynx to be part of a grand final was a pretty incredible story.
So the WNBL has now released the finals fixture for the grand final. So it will be Sunday, March 10 at 12:30 p.m. Western Standard Time for Game 1. That's 3:30 in the afternoon when you'll actually be playing, given you'll be over there. That's in Melbourne. And then Game 2, and most importantly for people here, that is Thursday, March 14, 6:30 p.m. at the Bendat Basketball Centre. Game 3 won't be required because you'll have already won it by then, but that will be Sunday, March 17 at a time which is yet to be decided because it will clash with so many sporting events. Isn't funny. There's two AFL games being played from West Coast and Fremantle. There's the potential for the Wildcats to be in an NBL grand final on the same day. So the WNBL will wait to determine what will happen with that. But it must be nice to know that right now, like, you know when you're going to play, you can start planning your life, and whilst your opponent is going to be decided on Wednesday night, you can at least start working things out.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, selfishly for me, it's huge, obviously, having a little one. So not having to get him on a plane straight away this week, knowing that we don't leave till the end of the week, and just having that time to be home, settle. And I'm sure it's the same for everyone, like, be with family, be with friends this week, rest, and then hopefully go into the weekend feeling good and refreshed. I guess it's just a huge advantage for us.
And for you personally, like, you have had an amazing career of being so close, yet so far. For those who don't recall, the Lynx won 14 games in a row in 2018-19 and then copped a direct flight to flight to Canberra, followed by a flight to Townsville for the last two games of the season, and there were no direct flights to either. So I think it was Melbourne to Canberra, and then Canberra to Brisbane, Brisbane to Townsville, and then you couldn't get back to Melbourne for the finals on the same plane. You all had to go on separate flights, and the WNBL changed the final schedule to make the away court game one. So it was horrible. You had 8 flights in 7 days, and were exhausted before the finals even began. So you must be nice to not have to experience that. What are your memories of that sort of experience in a semi-final series when you were dominant but couldn't make it through to a grand final?
I just remember being like, I know our whole team, we were just so angry. Like, spending that much time on the road together is never easy, but especially it was over like Christmas, New Year, that break there. So it was just every holiday, couldn't see our family. Then we were together on the road, having to fly nonstop, got off the plane in Melbourne, even though we were the top team, and just felt exhausted. You know, meanwhile, they'd been sitting there for 2 weeks training, preparing, and we'd just flown in 2 days before and just had to sit in our hotel and wait. I just, yeah, I remember previously feeling like this is our year, and then we got this schedule and it was just like everything kind of, the wheels came off real quick. Let's just say that.
The wheels did come off. And it was the same for, I think Sydney finished on, second that year, and they had to have the away final scenario as well. And 3v4 played in the grand final, and the WNBL said afterwards, we'll never do that again. That wasn't fair. But then we got to 2021-22. Our border was closed. You guys moved to Ballarat and Country Victoria and only got 4 games at the Bendat Basketball Centre for the entire season. Still finished second. Controversy around the semi-finals when you beat Canberra. Then they caught COVID. And then the series was cancelled. You go in and play in a grand final series. Marina Mabry was shooting to tie game 2 after you won game 1, which would have sent it to overtime. Then you had to do the most horrible flight of all time, leaving at 5 o'clock the next morning to go to Melbourne. You stayed an hour and a half away from the court because of the Formula One Grand Prix. You had delays left, right, and centre. And you just weren't settled for a grand final.
No, that was definitely rushed and rough. We only had, like, I think, 1 day between the games too, so we didn't even have a choice of getting a different flight. I guess it's just always been chaotic. Every final I've been in, I guess we found a way. The WNBL has... Oh, I shouldn't say that.
The sport itself has found a way
to make it difficult for us. And, you know, even that season when the Ballarat Hub season... I just think even going into the grand final, the fact that we made it with all the adversity, everything we'd been through, the fake border opening. so to actually get there was obviously such an incredible feat. And then to have, you know, the series we did was obviously disappointing.
So you're settled now. Like, as we said, you've got the week. You can watch and see who you're going to play. And you can feel fresh and ready to go. Like, this is what grand finals should be about. You must be feeling really thankful that this is an opportunity that is going to be fair for everyone, and you can go in. It's not the usual travel dramas or what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. You've got nothing really to focus on other than basketball.
Yeah, which is definitely refreshing, and I think it'll be huge for our team. Obviously, we're young. Like, I don't think many of our girls would have actually been in a final series. So to have one where we're able to prepare on court, but also like mentally prepare off court, you know, we're home, we're in our comfortable environments, we have our training staff with us, we have everyone with us to give us the best possible week of preparation to head into a final, I think will be so huge for us, you know, as a group.
So you left after that first final series, which you talked about, and went overseas, and then you came back and you were talking about unfinished business then, and then you got to play in a grand final and then had a baby, and now we've come back again. There's genuine unfinished business for you now, isn't there?
There is genuine unfinished business, and I just, you know, thinking about the last, even now they laugh at me because every time I think about the last final series, I get angry and I'm like, oh, no wonder I quit. but here we are, just to have a chance to do it again is just incredible. And I know some people never get to play in a grand final. And I'm just really hoping that this year is our year as a team. And I think we deserve it.
1992 is the last time it happened for this club. Like, can you think, or can you allow yourself to think about what it would mean for WA basketball if you win it?
I mean, I just think it'll be huge. There's so many people that have been such big supporters for so long, an integral part of like the journey, you know, all the girls that came through in waves and had to play for free and never got the chance to get there. I just think, you know, to everyone, it would just mean so much. BWA have obviously taken us on and done like such an incredible job, just putting a team, fielding a team together. And there's been so many ups and downs. So I just think that obviously it would be amazing for our group, but it's just bigger than that. Like, it is for all those people that have played over the last, you know, the last 20, 30 years, and the like organization that has, you know, given up so much just to have the rights to own us,
to keep us going. Yeah. So you had a game this year where lots of former players and former coaches came and they were celebrated on the court. Melissa Sinfield and Melissa Marsha at every single game. Like, the history behind the club, you can see quite obviously they sit so close to you guys on the bench. Do you feel those people are just as big a part of the journey as what you guys are at the moment?
Absolutely. And we know we've been fortunate enough to have some of them come in and like speak to us and meet us, and they're always welcome. And I think it just adds like so much value, and it's so great that the Lynx are doing that. I know that the WNBL have actually started this year with a past players association. I think all of that is just so important and just shows you how much the league means to so many people.
You shouldn't even be playing right now. Realistically, like you should have just been being a mum, being a professional athlete with a 13-month or 14-month?
Yeah, 13-month.
Like, it's, let alone being in a grand final. Like, do you pinch yourself a little bit at what you've actually been able to achieve this year?
Yeah. Look, sometimes I look back and I'm like, how did I even, you know, how did I get through those first few months or this month or not sleeping for here and there? And like, I guess now coming through, like getting to this point, I'm like, it is to be able to get fit enough to play and contribute and feel like I'm contributing to this team has been huge for me. And yeah, it is crazy. When I went and decided to try and have a baby, I didn't think I would be coming back. So for me, just to have this opportunity is kind of like pretty incredible. I'm speechless. Yeah.
Let's bring him in. He's just outside at the moment. Alex, just give Lauren a call to wander in. Here comes Elijah now. Little young fella. He's just over one. Like, he's a cute bugger and he's got great hair. He's become the official team mascot, hasn't he?
He has. Look, he's got his own Instagram now, but he definitely is. He gets more attention than me on the socials. Most messages I get is when he doesn't show up in his game day fit to everyone asking if he's okay.
So he travels around the country with you as well. What's it been like having to focus on basketball and him at the same time as we try to do an interview? It probably wasn't a great idea to bring him in here at the moment. He's slapping you in the face.
It's honestly been the best distraction for me. Before having a baby, I feel like I put, you know, so much pressure on myself. After a game, I was so in your head. All you do is think about that. And I think most athletes would be the same. I don't suggest going out to have a baby to fix this, but I just think after games, you know, you finish, all you can think about for the next 2, 3, 4 days until your next game is like, oh, I missed this, I did this, we lost this because of this. Whereas now I get off the game and he's just like running onto the court trying to chase a basketball. I just like the most important thing right now is like just is being a mum, which has just provided me such a great distraction as he talks.
We'll get Lauren to come back and ease the distraction during here.
He probably thinks it's a ball.
So you mentioned the number of players who haven't really experienced this before. Matt Clinch-Hoikar was the remaining player from that last series, but didn't actually play. She was a DP and didn't get on court throughout the series at all. So how do you approach everyone going around going, well, maybe we haven't really known what's this about. I know Emily Potter has played in finals overseas, and Annalise won one previously in a different club as well. But it's not easy for most of this group to really understand what this is going to be about.
Yeah, I think the club has done a good job of giving us like people, like leadership people to come in and have speak to us and try and change our focus. I think for me, the biggest thing is just like being a leader and just trying to keep everyone calm, you know. And a few times throughout the season, the girls have come to speak to me like, are you really like laid back right now? Like, how are you not stressing? I'm like, because it is what it is. Like, you know, we can only control what we can. Just focus on this. Like, we can worry. You can be nervous before the game on Sunday morning. You can wake up nervous. Like, until that point, like, all we can do is train. All we can do is focus on where we're at. There's no point of, you know, there's no point of stressing and getting anxiety about things that we can't control yet. And I think, you know, for me, Eli's the biggest distraction, which is helpful. But I think for them, it will be so important just to focus on like where we're at as a team rather than trying to, try and stress from now about Sunday, because otherwise you're just going to end up so worked up by the time we get to the game.
You've become better than that at that, haven't you, personally? Yeah. Like, you used to be a bit more of a stress head, is my memory.
Way more stressed, way more, emotional, a little bit more crazy. But, I've definitely leveled out. I think, you know, getting old probably helps. Being in this position before definitely helps, and, yeah.
And probably being settled in life would make it – like, I remember when you were at Adelaide, you were sometimes having to miss training sessions because you had an actual job and you couldn't get to training or you wouldn't be able to pay your rent.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, pretty much, yeah. Quite a few times I was like running from, well, I worked for my parents and I worked in a bar. So I'd be like finishing at like 2 a.m., getting home, then have to wake up for like an early indie. And then if my parents they went away and I had to work a few days there, couldn't get to training. So then that was like a massive blowout with everyone. And I was just like, it was just to come from that to like now and be like, have a house, be settled here, have, you know, family. It just kind of has made everything focused on, like, I can just focus on what I need to focus on. It's not those other distractions around me.
You've got some amazing players in this team, and you've played with some extraordinary WNBA talent over the years. Leilani Mitchell at Adelaide, Sammy Whitcomb for a while over here, Courtney Williams, Marina Mabry, Jackie Young. Tell me about Aria McDonald.
This girl is just next level. I do not understand how she does what she does, but it is unreal. I think she would be the quickest player I've ever played with, and probably one of the like best players I've ever seen just completely change a game by herself. You know, she probably could shoot more, but she still wants to get everyone involved. She's like one of the best passers I've seen, but also one of the best scorers, and she can just shoot at, you know, all three levels. Doesn't matter where it's from. She's got this. And I think the biggest thing about her is, like, as well, which I think sometimes goes, you know, under the radar, is her defense. Like, we ask her to score 30, but then we're also putting her on their best player every week, and she's shutting them down. Or, you know, they might score 20, but it's off 20 shots and it's not what they want. And I think to have an import that values, like, her defense as much as her offense and is just such an incredible person off the court is so rare, and it's just such a pleasure to play with her.
How different is it to have her in the team? We know how different it is, because 1-7 versus, I think it's 11-3 with her in the team. Like, do you notice the dramatic difference in the way this team plays when she's out in the court?
Well, definitely. I think most people could probably see it. But it's just the fact that she, you know, she gets other people into the game, but she also, if we're not going well, you know, I'm not the player that's going to try and get to the basket every possession. And I don't think anyone on our team really had that ability without her. So now if things are going bad, she's the one that she like puts us on her back and goes. And I guess one of the biggest things as well, which she draws so much attention. So like if she's going to the basket, there's probably three people standing wide open because the whole team needs to collapse in on her just to try and stop her, which has just been like a game changer for us with her coming back.
Well, she's going to be important in the grand final. You're going to be very important in this grand final series. So as we said, it's game one, Sunday, March 10th. 12:30 p.m. on TV over here. Game two at home, 6:30 p.m. on Thursday, March 14th. And as we won't have a game three.
No.
We'll just get it done in two. Really appreciate you coming in. Really appreciate Elijah coming in. Good luck. Hope it goes really well for you and you get to hold up the trophy.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we'll see you on Thursday.
So that's it for this week's episode of the Dribble Podcast. You can read all of your basketball news in the West Australian newspaper and at thewest.com.au. Don't forget to go to The West Sport on YouTube to watch these videos and all the other things we've had throughout the season. Thanks to Christian Doolittle and Alex Cipitone for their time. Thanks to little Elijah for coming in with his mum as well. And thank you to Josh Cable for all of his magnificent production work as always. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Dribble Podcast.